When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
It's Thought Leader Thursday here on The Opening Bell. Don Lloyd is here from Associated Bank. Don is the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, also oversees foreign exchange and derivatives. And we'll have a conversation this morning about foreign trade, global trade, and other issues as well. But first, let's welcome in Don. Don, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. Lots to cover today. I want to first talk about the trade situation, the global trade situation. There was seemed to be a little hope earlier this week that there might have been some sort of deal or a trade truce, a tariff truce. Hard to make sense of what's going on now and where we're headed, but what are your thoughts?
Yep, lots of stuff going on in the global markets, no question about it. And the whole G20 and what's come out of that, and the whole sort of trade agreement that's not really an agreement yet because we're trying to figure it out, certainly is dominating the news headlines right now. You know, if this was a fireworks display for this entire year, you know, fireworks display sort of end in, you know, the grand finale.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year has certainly just been identical to that. And we are in the grand finale right now with the volatility you've seen in the equity market and the interest rate market and the commodity market with oil off 20-30% in a month. And now the G20 is sort of like the cherry on top of it all. You know, the big boomer fireworks displays at the end of it. And what a perfect way. You know, this is the 10th year that the G20 got together, and the G20 meets every year. They get their governmental leaders and leaders of industry together at these meetings, and they talk about, in an informal way, current events, current topics, and they open up channels of communication, which are great. And one of the big things was sort of this quasi-tariff agreement between China and the U.S., which the markets liked. Where you basically had a little bit of a pause on the upcoming tariff measures that the U.S. Administration was going to take towards China. $200 billion of goods, they were going to raise a tariff from 10% to 25%, and that's been put on pause for the next 90 days. Markets reacted favorably to it until they sort of took a little deeper dive into it and realized, what really was the agreement?
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody seems to be saying different things, and nothing's really in writing as far as what the agreement is. So the market's sort of sitting back a little bit, scratching its head on that. But at least we have a 90-day pause.
Right. And not just scratching your head on what happened, but little misstatements by members of the administration. One said one thing, another said another thing, which added to the a little bit mistrust there.
Always goes back to the uncertainty in the market. And the market penalizes uncertainty quite heavily. And the initial increase in the equity market was sort of given up pretty quickly right after that until we sort of figure out what's going on. But nonetheless, again, G20 came out of it. It was probably the most benign G20 meeting we've had in a long time. There was a number of topics that they did talk about, opened up channels of communication. Probably the biggest one other than sort of this pause in the trade was the WTO, the World Trade Organization, mm-hmm. and sort of the reformation that is going to be addressed at the next G20 summit meeting, which will be in Osaka, Japan, on June of 2019. So they're laying the groundwork for that. World Trade Organization, as you're probably aware, is really the international organization, the only one on the globe that is there to talk about and address and facilitate international trade. So they handle things like disputes. They create infrastructure when it comes to international trade between countries. It was established back in 1995. So the U.S. and the current administration in the U.S. has sort of been against the world trade a little bit because they figure it's been very unfavorable towards the U.S. So there's been a lot of pushback and wanting some reformation, and it looks like that might be coming next year.
And what are the facts where that's concerned? Has that been the case? Is there a valid argument to be made there?
Is there a valid? I don't know. It depends on what side you're on.
Right.
You know, I mean, from the U.S., is there always room to renegotiate these agreements and the roles that organizations play? Sure. I mean, that's what you saw in NAFTA, or the new NAFTA 2.0 that was also signed sort of on the sideline in the last G20 meeting November 30th through December 1st. That was agreed upon. The NAFTA 2.0, again, the administration's view was it was unfavorable to the U.S. And I think every once in a while, whether it's the World Trade Organization or NAFTA 2.0 or the IMF, you sort of got to clean the slate and get everybody at the table and let's talk about how things are going and let's make some new arrangements and new agreements and sort of tighten things up. That's not an unhealthy step unless it's drawn out and prolonged for long periods of time. So I think it's a good step. Is there some truth behind it? It depends on, you know, if you're a U.S. importer or exporter, if you're a foreign country importing or exporting to the U.S.
Yeah. And it's good, too, that the two leaders, the President Trump and President Xi, can sit down and have a conversation. We hear all this hyperbole about trade war and, yep. and conditions between the two countries. If the conditions are bad, the two leaders are not going to sit down like that and have a cordial conversation.
Exactly. And that's exactly what the G20 is supposed to do. It's supposed to get these leaders in an informal setting where they can talk face-to-face about things like this and not have all the politics and the red tape and all the middlemen and the middle people that are there sort of slowing things down and mucking things up. Mm-hmm. So anytime there's two-way communication where people are actually having a dialogue and listening to each other, I don't think that's bad at all.
And I like how you described the new trade agreement as NAFTA 2.0. Yeah. It's a lot easier to remember than United States-Mexico-Canada agreement.
Too much of a mouthful. Right, 2.0 is a lot easier for me.
And the signing of that happened to the G20. That yep. Still has to be approved by Congress, obviously, and other countries. But right. Everybody seems to be on a good page with that as well.
Yeah, I think so. Since the midterm elections have been over and now you've sort of got the Democrats running the House a little bit more, there'll be a few things that they're going to nitpick about and that might slow it down a little bit or change it a little bit on this side. So you know, even though it was signed at the G20, you're right. It's got to get through the legislature here in the U.S. and up in Canada and down in Mexico as well. It's got to pass all three of the governments that got to approve on it. You'll eventually get to something. We'll pound it all out. The way I sort of look at it is that whether it's tariffs in the trade with China, whether it's NAFTA 2.0, whether it's any other piece of climate control, the information that came out on the climate report this past week, these are all just little levers that are on the table to negotiate, so that the administration can sort of get what they want, whether that's a wall in Mexico or whatever it is that they want, and they're going to give something. They're just putting it out on the table to say these things are open for discussion. And to me, that's what democracy is all about. We're finally getting to a point now where people have their levers, people have their interests, and now let's compromise. Yeah. Let's settle on some things. And that's how America moves forward, as far as I'm concerned, something that we haven't had in a while.
It's interesting that the G20 summit was held in Argentina. Argentina's had its share of issues, and I think there was a little bit of discussion about that. I wonder if we talk from time to time about world market situation, global currencies, global economies. That's a really good example of one in trouble, or one that has been in trouble.
Yeah, throw Argentina with the rest, or not the rest, but a lot of the South American countries. I mean, here you have countries that are a little bit less developed than, some of the more Western progressive industrialized countries. They don't have the infrastructure. They're commodity-based, so as commodity prices go, so go their economies. And then you layer in a little bit of bribes and corruption on top of that. And the next thing you know, you've got a recipe for a currency that's devalued by close to 50%, which is great if you're one of the G20 members going down there and, getting in your hotel room and buying, food and whatnot. It was probably a bargain basement price for those guys going down for the G20. But from the Argentina standpoint, you had a 50% devaluation in the currency. You've got interest rates at, I don't think I've ever seen interest rates as high as in Argentina. It's 60%. 60% interest rates.
Imagine that.
So, this was sort of a opportunity for Argentina to act as a broker, a middleman, to host the G20, to sort of put a good foot forward. And you sort of have these, economic weaknesses that are behind it, which sort of bubbles it up to the surface again and sort of puts it front and center. Mm-hmm. They have their challenges. They certainly have their challenges, but so do a lot of other countries that have it. Again, it can show you what can happen when a lot of your economy is based in a commodity or a price-driven sector, and it's not very well diversified beyond that, and then you get a little bit of corruption and some things that are layered in on top of it. The market is certainly punishing it, whether it's in currency or equities or the interest rates over there. You know, the markets are certainly punishing them right now.
Are the emerging markets still a good place to be investing and be working?
What a great
money?
Question that is. As you're watching the U.S. and China and the pause in the whole tariff, the 90-day pause you have going on, seems great for the U.S. and China. But think about the pricing advantage that some of the emerging market countries had when these tariffs were a little bit more talked about and that they were going to become, you know, a real thing. That all of a sudden you had countries like Thailand and Vietnam picking up the demand from China that was usually going over to the United States. So emerging markets, are they a good place to be right now? I sort of set them on the back burner a little bit until we figure out what's going on with these two big economies, China and the U.S., and the tariffs that go on there. Certainly when there were tariff wars going on and the threat of tariff wars, the emerging markets, they were benefiting from it because that demand had to be, they became competitive. That had to go elsewhere. So those economies were doing well. Now that that's sort of, the two big guys are making up a little bit and maybe we're going to work out something, those emerging markets are going to suffer a little bit, I think. Mm. So to me, I'm probably a little bit less heavy on emerging markets and sort of put them on the back burner a little bit for now. But that's just me.
Yeah. The other thing that's been going on, I want to just get your thought on before we leave, over the last couple of weeks, it's been quite an interesting story in the UK with the sterling and the European Union saying, hey, you know, if you really want to stop Brexit, you can.
Yep.
To the UK. That's still developing, isn't it?
We are right in the thick of it right now. May has come forward with, you know, her agreement. The full details of that agreement have not been published, but at least the numbers are out there and how everything is going to work in a very general sense. And now Parliament's got to discuss it. They have to decide whether they want to accept it or not. And that's a big, steep road ahead of them. So, you know, as you know, the election is December 11th is the election is the decision on whether to move forward, whether or not is December 11th. So there's a lot of road to hoe, you know, between now and then and uphill battle. So we'll see what happens. I mean, if anything, you're heading towards March. You're not going to have an agreement, I don't think. What's that going to do to the pound? What that's going to do to the investment, the flight of capital out of that, the uncertainty that it creates. So this might be the fireworks display. We might be in the grand finale, but the grand finale is going to go on for quite some time, I think. So,
very good. Yeah. What are you asking for Santa for this year?
Same thing as last year, Steve. Yeah. I think this is our third Christmas together. I think I've asked the same thing. You've asked me the same thing every year. And, you know, just to have people sit down and talk to each other and listen to each other and just a little bit of peace, a little bit of quiet. I mean, just let's talk as human beings and listen to each other. And, you know, it used to be cryptocurrency in the stockings, but you know, that's not worth anything anymore. So let's just stick with people listening and talking going forward.
I love it. Don, how can people get in touch with you and your team if they want to talk more about some of this stuff first?
Sure. Go on to the Associated Bank website, look up Capital Markets. My number is right there. You can call the trading desk and talk to, you know, any one of the 14 people, including myself, that sit on the desk. And we can talk about commodities, interest rates, foreign exchange. Got all the time in the world because, you know, that's what we do 12 hours a day.
Great.
Good.
Don, see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye. Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, the Foreign Exchange Derivatives at Associated Bank. And he's our thought leader today. Our thought leader conversation airs every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. And remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on The Opening Bell page. You can follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and to hear more conversations there as well.